Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
While Kawhi and the Clippers dismantled the Pelicans on Saturday afternoon, LeBron and the Lakers fell to the Raptors later that night, 107-92. Kyle Lowry dropped 33 points in Toronto's bubble debut, while Los Angeles shot a season-low 35% from the field. LeBron scored 20 points, but Anthony Davis only had 14 after scoring 34 against the Clippers on Thursday. We're now joined by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, should the Lakers be concerned after losing really that big to the Raptors?
Don't tell me I need to talk Shannon down off the cliff already. No, look, I'm not going to overreact to one loss. I think there was a little bit of a letdown after the big win against the Clippers, which was huge for the Lakers. It also locked up the number one seed for them. I think with LeBron, the question at 35 years old, for me at least, was would he come back rested or rusty? Because a lot of times at that age, you know, it may take you a little while to get going again after you've had a long layoff. And I think the answer is both. He's rested and he's rusty. But I have no doubt that by the time the games are important, certainly by the second round of the playoffs and probably the first round, he'll be back to midseason form. Anthony Davis, 14 points. That's an aberration. I know they double teamed him all night. He made the passes out of the double team. But most nights, you don't have to worry about him having a subpar game like that. The main concern for me, though, with the Lakers is their perimeter defense or their lack thereof. Without Avery Bradley, and at least for now without Rajon Rondo, they can't guard on the perimeter. You know, I mean, look at Deion Waiters, Alex Caruso, J.R. Smith. Which one of those guys is locking somebody down? Which one do you trust? Caruso's okay, but he's only going to play so many minutes. Obviously, you got Danny Green and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who would seem to be your best defenders, but they're shooting horribly right now. Danny Green is 2-for-13, and KCP is 4-for-15 in the bubble. So they're not, you know, you got to get them off the floor because they're not making shots. So the Lakers, their perimeter defense is poor. We saw Kyle Kuzma trying to guard Kyle Lowry. That's why Lowry went for 33 points. In these two games in the bubble, the Lakers have given up an average of 15 three-pointers a game. No team in the NBA has averaged 14 three-pointers allowed in the regular season, let alone 15. So that's the main concern for me, the perimeter defense. When you look at the Raptors, now they're a hard-nosed team. They play incredibly hard. They're well-coached. But they have struggled against the elite teams in the league, against Houston, Milwaukee, the Clippers, and the Celtics. The Raptors are 1-7. Against the Lakers, they're 2-0 because those three of those teams particularly have good perimeter defense. And Houston at times, when they want to, can defend. Whereas the Lakers don't have the perimeter D, and I think that's why they've struggled with the Raptors. So that's my only concern with the Lakers. I think they can overcome it, but it's not good right now.
Well, that's what I told Skip. I think the thing is that right now they can't knock down shots. Now, eventually, I see everybody else making threes. I mean, Clippers couldn't miss from the three in the first half. The Celtics were knocking down three. We know that dynamic duo backcourt of Portland can hit the three-point shot. We see Houston. Yeah, they took 61, but they made 21 of them. And at some point in time, the shots that they're missing, because they're shooting 11% lower from the field, and they're shooting 8% lower from the three-point line. So I believe that once they get back to those levels, I'm not saying that the Lakers are the Golden State Warriors that shooting threes in that when they had that great stretch, but they're better than what they've shown in this bubble. And my biggest concern with the Lakers have always been guard the three-point line. They give up far too many easy, uncontested threes. And a lot of that, Chris, is to your point, is that it's so hard for them to stay in front of people. And so when someone comes to help, that guy just kicks it to the three-point line, and the guy's getting a wide-open three. They let Kyle Lowry, once Kyle Lowry got going, he's a little bulldog. So once he got going, he's like, I'm going to take whatever I want from moving forward. And they had no answer for him. Danny Green became unplayable because, like you said, yeah, he can give you some defense, but if he can't knock down wide-open threes, he's of no use to you. And so the three starters, JaVale, Caldwell Pope, and Danny Green, had 8 points. 8 points. That's not good enough. But I ain't worried about it. We're going to take it out on Utah tonight. Me and Skip got a bet. We got a case.
We got
a case to do on it right now.
I thought you said no.
I want it.
You want it?
Want it.
What is it?
Six and a half.
6.5. I got it. I got Utah with 6.5.
Got it.
Thank you. Wow. Done. I already won one case.
You about to lose it back.
Yeah, good. Here we go. So is it my turn now?
It's your turn.
I am having a grand old time sitting back here listening to both of you make excuses and trying to rationalize what really happened on Saturday evening versus Toronto. Chris Broussard, we're both from newspaper backgrounds. You effectively buried the lead of what really happened on Saturday night. Let's go to the lead. The lead is that LeBron James came bursting out of the gate in the fourth quarter because he owns the first 2 minutes of every fourth quarter. And he made two big threes, first two of the night. And I thought, well, maybe they're off to the races here. They jump up 76-72 with 10 minutes and 23 seconds left. You're up four. You got the best player on the planet and another top five player. And what happens the rest of the way? You get outscored 35-16. You get outscored by 19 points over the last 10 and a half minutes of this game. Your best player on the planet, LeBron James, goes 1-for-5, 0-for-2 from three. And the other guy, called AD, it must now stand in fourth quarters for all done. AD stands for all done in the fourth quarter because he just disappears. In four fourth quarters against the Clippers and now one against the Raptors, he just shrinks and disappears. I don't know what happens to him. In four fourth quarters against the Clippers, he scored a grand total of 10 points. In those four fourth quarters plus the one on Saturday against the Raptors, he has a grand total of 2 free throws attempted. Of course, he made both of them because he is a free throw making machine. In the bubble, he has made 25 of 26 free throws. On Saturday, he shot 0 in the fourth quarter because he goes, we talk about LeBron being passive aggressive. I mean, AD, all done, is just not aggressive in the fourth quarter. If he even sniffs of a double team, he's just giving up the basketball. He does not want to assert himself. He does not want to try to impose his will in the fourth quarter the way he always does in the third quarter. He is Mr. Third Quarter. So I am not going to give LeBron and AD a pass for a pathetic performance down the stretch against a team that does have some grit and some toughness. We get that. But they don't have Kawhi Leonard, and they haven't been great against good teams. And that deserved a lot more criticism than what it got, at least from across the table here on this show, because somebody says he's not concerned when I think deep down he's scared to death about what's going on.
Trip dub tonight, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. First of all, the question was, are we concerned? Admittedly, LeBron and AD did not play well.
Right.
But am I concerned about them going forward? Not really. Again, AD, you made good points. And you guys know, I've been on this show all year saying AD is going to have to become a fourth quarter scorer. I've put it in the context of to beat the Clippers, but maybe we're seeing it, period. I mean, for most of the year, he averaged 3 points in the fourth quarter. The last month of the season before the lockdown, they kind of got him going more in the fourth and he played better. But that's becoming a problem. And part of it, look at where he's shooting from. Why is he out there thinking he's Kevin Durant? You know, AD, part of the problem is what is he fantastic at offensively outside of free throws, Skip, to your point. You know, he's a very good shooter for a big man.
Yep.
But not when you can, you know, if you look at regular perimeter players, he's nothing special on the perimeter. And in the post, he's pretty good, but he's not great. He needs to be going inside. Again, he is not Kevin Durant. He's not Dirk Nowitzki. He's not one of those seven-footers that's just gifted on the perimeter. So I think that's an issue. They need to have AD playing a little closer to the basket because his jumper is going to come and go. It's not going to be automatic like some of the great guys I mentioned. Yeah.
Chris, what he does best in his whole offensive repertoire is draw fouls. He can draw fouls. At least he does first quarter through third quarter. because he parades to the free throw line. The other day, I was just in awe. It's automatic. It is a really sweet motion that he has. Great follow through, high arc, swishes nearly every free throw. And then in the fourth quarter, he so lacks aggression that he just doesn't even get to the free throw line and do what is best in his repertoire.
I think. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think they made a mistake. You know, look, we look at the fourth quarter numbers. AD didn't score as much in the fourth. LeBron was one of the highest scoring fourth quarter guys in the league. But we know what we've seen LeBron enough delivering the playoffs. I know, Skip, you rip him, but he's got more game-winning shots in the playoffs than Kobe and MJ. Okay, so we know LeBron can deliver down the stretch. I think they should have spent the season getting AD comfortable as the go-to guy in the fourth, because there's going to come points in the playoffs, whether it's the Clippers or somebody else, where AD is going to have to be that guy.
I think the thing is that what we're seeing is that Vogel is playing AD the entire third quarter, and then he's resting for the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. So you might have to – now, I get the Clippers, because he had it going. The Clippers were starting to slip away from you, but AD got it going, and he kept you in the ball game. So I get riding him for the entire third quarter. But you might have to break it up, Chris. You might have to only give AD 8-9 minutes of the third quarter so you can bring he and LeBron back together again. Because you kind of you like staggering those guys. If you notice, AD plays the majority of the first quarter. LeBron comes out about the five-minute mark. He might come back in with a minute to go. And then AD will start the bench in the second quarter. He'll start on the bench. LeBron comes back, and then they come back in, and they normally finish together. But you might have to stagger. You might have to AD minutes in the third quarter. Says AD, I can only play you 8 to 9 because I'm going to need to bring you back. I'm going to need you to get going a little earlier in the fourth quarter. But I ain't worried about it. We'll take it out on Utah tonight. Utah, y'all in for it.
Final point. I'm going to say it again. The closer for your Lakers is Kyle Kuzma. That's why they had him on the floor for most of the fourth quarter. They were waiting for him to start making big shots, especially three-point shots. Unfortunately, he got stuck having to guard 6'1" Kyle Lowry, and he's what's Kuzma, 6'8"? And he just couldn't stay with him, and he got tormented and frustrated on defense. He starts fouling. Obviously, Lowry makes a couple of big threes. Van Vliet's making threes. And you can't suffer through it. It's like you tell me about Lou Williams. The Lakers hut Lou when he's on the floor because he is their closer, but he can't defend. So you got a problem now without Avery Bradley being able to lock down a Kyle Lowry. You're going to miss his 3-and-D.
Hey, Chris, you know what I hadn't heard? Since we've been back in the bubble? Oh, LeBron don't play no defense. Have you heard that from somebody else we know, Chris? LeBron doing what he do.
He has been playing hellacious defense.
The guys on the other team. That's the problem. Somebody else to guard.
Exactly. He can't guard Siakam and OG and Kyle Lowry and Kawhi and Paul George and Lou Will.
Siakam didn't have a big game.
He did.
Skip, are you back with the Clippers? Or I know you were talking Lakers last week.
I loved how the Clippers bounced back. There was no hangover from what I considered a moral victory over the Lakers. And all they did was lead by 42 against the Pelicans in the third quarter. So I think they're back afloat.
Hey, what did they bounce back from? You know what I'm saying? Chris, you remember when we were growing up and you get a butt cut and your grandma said, boy, get in there before I give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
You better bounce back. Okay. We gave you something to cry about. We gave you something to cry about, Skip.
Utah plus 6.5. Thank you.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, It's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
The Rockets upset the Bucks 120-116 last night, despite a monster 36-point game from Giannis Antetokounmpo. Russell Westbrook led the way for Houston with 31 points, and the Rockets delivered some timely defense down the stretch, ending the game on a 16-4 run to seal the deal. So, Chris, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a threat are the Rockets?
I'm going to say a 6. A 6. They're the third-best team in the Western Conference, behind the two L.A. teams. And the problem for the Rockets, of course, is they're going to meet one of those teams, the Clippers or the Lakers, in the second round. Now, right now, much to Shannon's chagrin, it would be the Lakers in the second round. And if I had to pick one of the L.A. teams who I think the Rockets have the best chance of beating, upsetting, it would be the Lakers for the reasons we talked about in the last segment. The Lakers have trouble guarding the perimeter. And that, of course, is the strength of the Houston Rockets. So I think they would give the Lakers some headaches and push them in a really tough series. And I give them a decent chance of beating the Lakers, although I'd favor the Lakers. So the things I like about the Rockets, since they've gone small ball, they have become less Harden-centric. So now the dynamic between James Harden and Russell Westbrook now is much more of a two-headed monster rather than being a definitive Harden first option, Russell second option. I mean, Russell's taking more shots than Harden in these two games in the bubble, and he's averaging 31 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, and Harden, of course, had the big 49-point night, so he's still able to get his too. So I love that the offense is less predictable because it's a two-headed monster. And then defensively, as they showed in the bubble, the two games, they're not a bad defensive team down the stretch. In the fourth quarter against Dallas, when they came back and won that game, Dallas is the best offense in the league as far as offensive rating, and they held them to 20 points in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, yesterday against the Bucks, they forced 23 turnovers and did a good job guarding them in the fourth quarter. So Houston, like I said, I've said all season, they're the third best team in the West. But with Russell, they keep you off balance because of his intensity and his speed. And then Harden dominates the half court. So I give them a 6. They're a tough team.
Chris Broussard, you and I have been covering this league for a long time. Me longer than you. I've been studying this league for a long, long time. I have never, ever seen anything like these Houston Rockets. I've never seen anything. I've never seen a game won the way last night's game was won, which is why my scale of 1 to 10, my confidence in them as a threat is all the way up to an 8. I have liked
so
this
that's
team.
Getting to the finals?
No.
To get to the
no,
finals.
But they're going to scare the hell out of whoever they play. I could see them winning a couple of rounds. I could see them knocking off the Lakers if you're talking about a second round matchup. But the point is, they are finally playing Mike D'Antoni team is playing defense in ways that I never thought was imaginable because they disrupted a very good Bucks offensive team last night. They hounded them. They harassed them. They did force 23 turnovers. They stole the ball. They deflected passes. They got in their way. They got under their skin. They got in their hair. They got inside their psyche and down the stretch, the Bucks looked laughably out of sync because they could not run their offense against Harden and Westbrook and Covington and this defensive team. So, again, they got out-rebounded last night by 29 points in the paint, 60-20 for the Bucks. 60-20? The Rockets missed 40 threes, and I told Shannon earlier, I think 35 of them were what I would consider wide open threes. And those 35 included maybe 30 short corner threes. They're just wide open. P.J. Tucker had a miserable night, but he made three that really helped. James Harden had a miserable night shooting threes. He was only 3 for 12, and it didn't matter because they did make 21 out of 61 threes. So they outscored them 21 to, what, 9 from the three-point line. That'll work. Mm-hmm. And they outscored them by 10 from the free throw line. That will really work. So all of a sudden, that's a plus 46 points, and you offset the small ball versus the Giants. They turned Brooke Lopez into a big, bad bully in the fourth quarter, and I was screaming at my TV.
He was shacking him.
Yeah, put Tyson Chandler in. They got Tyson on the bench. I love Tyson Chandler. I know he's 37 in year 19, but he's 7'1", and at least he could have bothered Brooke Lopez for 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. But no, Mike D'Antoni just folds his arms over there and says, watch me, watch my genius at work. So now they have two Steve Nashes penetrating, and Nash could never get to the rim and the free throw line the way these two guys can, one from the left, one from the right. And they're drawing every buck into the middle of the paint, and all of a sudden everybody's wide open on the perimeter, and Russ and James seem to be willing passers. They're going to get a whole bunch of wide open threes. If they can make 35, 38% of them, you're going to lose because it's going to be too many points to overcome when they're shooting 61, which tied the all-time regular season record for a game that didn't get to overtime.
Well, if they make 38% of their threes, they're beating everybody.
Everybody.
They're going to get up 50 to 60.
Yep.
So if they're getting up that many threes, how do you win a game? As Skip mentioned, Chris, they were out-rebounded by 29. They were out-rebounded 17-6 on the offensive end. You hold them. The Rockets shot less than 40% from the floor, less than 35% from the three. But as you mentioned, they forced Milwaukee into 20-plus turnovers. They only had 9. And that was the difference in the ball game the other night against the Mavericks. You mentioned they have the number one offense efficiency. But what I say about offense or defense, it only matters can you get done what you need to get done when you absolutely had to have it. Look at Dallas down the stretch and see how many times they turned the ball over. Look at Milwaukee yesterday when they had that lead down the stretch, how many times they turned the ball over and allowed the Rockets to get back into it. But the number one thing the Rockets have going, Russell Westbrook says, even though I'm going to a team that they want to shoot 53s a night, that's not my game. I'm a mid-range, drive-the-ball-to-the-bucket guy. Russ's attempted threes yesterday. And his mid-range game is where he's most lethal. So he's driving the ball, putting pressure on you at the rim, or he's walking up to you because you got to get on your heels because he can still go by you. And so he's getting that shot anytime he wants it. Russ has been the difference to me because people talk about all these other guys, but the second half of the season, he's been as good as anybody. And if you let them shoot that many threes, and they can shoot, Chris, Skip, if they shoot 38% from the three, somebody going to catch hell beating them because they put up too many to shoot that good. And you're like, 38, that's nothing. But when you shoot 55, 60 threes, that's going to be about 65 points per night. I don't know if they can shoot that, but they're going to put up 40, 45 threes every night. You just hope they're off because if they're on, because I told people when this restart in the scrimmage, James Harden looked like he was on a mission. Oh, Skinny James? Man, they talk about Skinny Gal and Skinny Cow. I'm talking about Skinny James Harden. He letting people have it.
Well, and some of it, too. I mean, they don't necessarily have to be that on fire from three. Because you guys know the math that has led to this revolution in the NBA, particularly with Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey and some of the other guys that throw up a bunch of threes. If you shoot 33% from three, that's the equivalent of 50% from two, which, as we all know, growing up the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, 50% from two is great.
Yes.
Any team would take that. So D'Antoni's like, look, they shot 34% yesterday from three, but that was enough to make up for the rebounding loss. So that's their whole formula, and then they try to get to the paint and draw fouls and get points from the foul line. I'll say this about Russ and Harden, and I think that Klay and Steph are the best backcourt in NBA history. But Harden and Russ are, I don't even think this is really controversial. They're the most talented and backcourt ever, and the most individually accomplished, where both, you know, both guys individually accomplished. Yeah. If they, I don't think any of us think they're going to win a championship, but if they somehow could, what it would do for the legacies of these two guys, because they both have the great individual stuff, it would be incredible. And everybody's assuming it would be Harden that would lead them. But maybe it's Russ. Russ is just as good in his own way. They're just different, but they're really very close as far as effectiveness.
But they're the backcourt up in the Northwest. They coming. They coming for them boys and them more light-skinned fellas in the Bay Area. Mm. They coming. CJ and Dame, they coming. Mm.
So
they're nice.
I never thought I would say this about a Rockets team led in part by James Harden. I never thought I would compliment these guys for having supreme mental toughness, because I never thought James really did when push came to shove. But Friday night, I got to watch them come back from 7 down with 45 seconds left against Dallas. Last night, they were 8 down with 3 minutes left against an even better Milwaukee team. And I thought, game over. Nope. Here they came again, and they won by 4 because, as Russ said right after the game on ABC, it was, he said, adversity showed up, and we showed out. And they did.
They did.
They beat adversity, and I never thought I would see that kind of grit and reach down, you know, from the soul, mental toughness in Houston Rockets. But they got it this year.
Yeah, they're tough. And, you know, and Harden still has to prove it. I mean, he's had some great playoff games, and we know he's had some really bad
duds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think we can give it to him that he's totally overcome it yet. He's obviously got to do it in the playoffs, but I think Russ helped. I think Russ's presence, because even though CP3 was great, Chris Paul, he doesn't put you, like, Russ just makes the defense so uncomfortable.
Yep.
Because he's always charging at you, and Chris didn't do that, and I think that helps James. Hmm.
Good stuff, guys. Really interesting. Rockets fascinating to watch right now. Chris Broussard, I have a feeling we'll check in with you plenty throughout the next couple days. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No mercy.
Get this, guys. According to a report in The Athletic, the Lakers have stopped doing their morning shoot-around on game days because LeBron and Anthony Davis don't want to participate. While the Lakers do have access to a gym on the morning of games, it's a voluntary activity, and LeBron often isn't there. The reason, a source said, that LeBron and AD, quote, kick ass when we don't do it. So that is it, Shannon. Big deal or no big deal, missing shoot around.
Good enough reading for me. Skip, man, for you. I mean,
is it my turn?
No, not your turn, no. Skip, it's not a big deal. I mean, you always, you know what, I know what you're trying to do.
I didn't even speak yet.
You're trying to sow dissension. Like you always tell me, you're trying to ruin my Cowboys salary cap by paying Dak all this. Skip, it's nothing. It's hard for me to see a scenario that the two best players on any given team don't have the lion's share of the say in when practice is or when practice isn't, when shoot around is or when shoot around isn't. It's hard for me to believe that, Skip. That's the way basketball works. Basketball is a superstar-driven league. Mm. Now, NFL, I don't care if Tom Brady say you don't want to practice. Tom Brady going to be there. That's just the way it is, coach, at the practice. The thing was, Skip, I remember we used to have, like, obviously, we play on all, you know, we practice on all the holidays unless it falls on a Tuesday. But sometimes Christmas falls on a Wednesday or Thursday or Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was always Thursday. We had practice. Now, Christmas was very unique. We knew one thing. Whatever John said was when we're going to practice. If John kids wanted to wake up early and open their presents, guess what, Skip? We were coming in the right. We coming. If they want to do it late, so be it.
But were you going to skip practice?
No, ain't no skipping. No. Ain't no skipping.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Your butt going to be there. So that's just the way it is. And guess what? We have shoot around today. Watch what we do to the Jazz tonight.
Really?
No.
Huh. Interesting. So here I gave LeBron James all these compliments. I just was effusive, over the top. Way to go, LeBron. You have sacrificed everything to be in the bubble with the fellas.
Yep.
You are treating this like you are the Los Angeles University Lakers. You're a college team. It's almost like you're an AAU team in the bubble. you're there with the guys. It's all basketball all the time. And then I read this and I say, what? He and AD, you're 5 minutes from the gym. This is so much easier than a usual road city shoot around where you might have to ride 20, 30 minutes in the bus, right?
Yeah.
Did Michael Jordan ever miss a shoot around when he was healthy? No, he just didn't. Because he's got gym rat in him. He wanted to go to shoot around and get up some shots to work on
it. Well, sometimes they had the shoot around in the casino. So he just lead right for the blackjack table.
You got jokes. The other point of the shoot around is you go over your defensive rotations for the opponent of the night. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. We're going to do this if he does that.
Right.
And it's always different. So I guess they're just doing it virtually. I don't know how they're doing it from their room.
Yeah.
So they don't want to have to wake up and go to shoot around. This is a bad sign because what do the numbers tell me? I know it's not a big sample size, but through the first two games, your Lakers from three are shooting 28%. You like that?
Well, the other guys you need to go. But hold on, Skip. If they've been
28%?
If they've been doing it like this, if they've been missing shoot-around or they've been neglecting shoot-arounds before, what's the difference?
What's not clear about the story, did it just start in the bubble or is this back into the regular season?
Exactly.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, okay, so what is LeBron James from the field right now in two games?
Not good.
He's shooting 38% during the what was the regular season pre-pandemic. He was 50%.
Yeah, we'll get back
to that. So he's down to 38%?
We're going
to
finish that.
Maybe he needs to shoot around.
Maybe
he needs to get some shots
You
up.
Know what? I'm just thinking, take the Jazz and call me in the morning. That's what the doctor just prescribed.
Take
the,
one Jazz and
call me. Yeah, call me in the morning.
Really?
So watch this 30-point triple-dub tonight.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. All I know is this is a bad sign.
It ain't no bad sign.
For a team, when your two superstars can tell the coach what we're not going to do, and again, it's Vogel. Could you do this to, back in the day, Phil Jackson? No, he wouldn't have accepted. He'd say, no, you are going to be there, whether you like it or not. Kobe, Shaq, you're going to be there, and they always were there.
Well, this is a stop sign for Skip Baylor. Stop trying to make something more than what it is. It ain't going to happen.
Could any Spur say, Pop, I don't think I'm going to.
Kawhi did it for 73 games.
He's
like, Pop, I ain't playing.
Well, he quit on the whole team.
Okay, then.
He didn't even show up for any games or anything.
Okay.
Okay, then. And what happened? He got his butt out of town to Toronto, and he successfully duped the whole world.
So let me ask you a question. You believe last year in Toronto, Kawhi was at every shoot-around?
I would say he'd be at every shoot-around on game day. If he's going to play in the game. Yeah.
Well, he missed 22 of them.
Okay, so he missed 22 shoot-arounds. But that was already decided pre-game.
Okay, so we decided this.
Okay.
We made some last-minute addendums to the contract.
If Mike Shanahan were the coach of these Lakers, accept that? He would not accept
you
that.
You know it's different in football than basketball.
It shouldn't be.
It is, though.
It's a mentality.
No.
And maybe they're lacking a little mental toughness and commitment.
One or two superstars in basketball really control the whole dynamic of the team. You know that. That's just the way it is, Skip. I see the way the coaches interact with the players and how they talk to the players. The coaches don't get on the superstar players.
Do you think when LeBron was in Miami with D. Wade playing under Pat Riley, do you think they said no to shoot-arounds? They did not.
Skip, LeBron's a little older now. Mm. He's a little older now. Like you told me, we're trying to save some of these minutes.
Mm. If I know Shannon Sharp, and I think I do, you do not love this.
Skip.
This is another bad sign.
Watch tonight. After tonight, you're going to say, LeBron, you should not even – you know what? As a matter of fact, don't even go to practice. Forget shoot-around.
Mm.
Just show up at the game.
Really?
After what he do tonight.
Well, he's so good, he doesn't need practice.
After tonight.
He's played the third most minutes in NBA history, so who needs practice? Who needs shoot-arounds? Who needs
anything? Ain't nobody practicing during the season anyway, Skip. Mm. Basically, I mean, you fly to one
city. I think the story said they're not practicing either.
No.
Yeah.
You should know now. Mm. How about this? Danny Green shot wide open, knock it down. KCP shot wide open, knock it down. How about that? That's all we're asking, guys. We're not asking for much. We're not asking you to do anything that you haven't been doing all season. Mm. Just give us what you've been giving us all season long. That's good enough. Nothing more, nothing less.
So my conclusion to this is after all the bubble trouble that the Clippers have suffered through, it is now advantage Clippers over Lakers psychologically.
Well, you didn't worry about Aries telling you that Sweet Lou was in there ordering them wings, yep, and she was dancing for him. Aries? Yeah, Aries would get dancing.
Do you have some knowledge of Aries?
She put it out there.
Oh, uh-huh. She did?
Yeah, she put it out there.
Really?
And now you're putting it out there as well.
Oh, Lemon Pepper Lou.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
I had a feeling that would come to the question today somehow, some way. Oh, and by the way, Shannon or Steve, I don't think either of you would miss shoot around. There's no way that's in your DNA. So moving on from there.
No mercy.
A Sports Illustrated column explored potential trade options for Dallas if the Cowboys end up moving on from Dak Prescott. And one that raised a lot of eyebrows was going after Aaron Rodgers. The former MVP has been pretty vocal that he thinks Green Bay wants to move on to Jordan Love sooner rather than later. And keep in mind, his former coach Mike McCarthy now runs the show in Dallas. So, Shannon, if this hypothetical scenario came to pass and they could trade for Rodgers, should the Cowboys do it?
Didn't Aaron Rodgers want to get rid of Mike McCarthy?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Agree.
Now he want to go back and join him, Skip?
Mm. Well, he would want to do
that. I know what I'm saying, though, but you're like, you get massages. Hold on. We supposed to be at walkthrough and you get massages. Are you going to criticize him? Skip, look, I just find it hard to see a scenario in which the Green Bay Packers would trade Aaron Rodgers to a conference opponent. I mean, Green Bay was like, no, we're not trading you Brett Favre to Minnesota or nobody in the NFC. Now, we're going to put your butt in the AFC, and then they put in the contract, if you trade him, you got to give us 3 first-round picks. So it put a poison pill in there. Skip, I don't see a scenario where Green Bay is going to trade Aaron. Now,
I think they're talking about Dak for Aaron Rodgers. So Dak goes to Green Bay.
Well, you can't trade. Why would Green Bay trade when you just took a quarterback in the first round? Mm-hmm. And Dak's not under contract. You can't trade a free agent. Now, if you franchise him, Skip, you remember last year the Houston Texans had franchised Jadeveon Clowney. He says, okay, I will sign the tender if you trade me to Seattle.
Correct.
But if I'm Dak Prescott, why would I want to get traded to Green Bay when you just took a quarterback in the first round? So, Skip, I've read the article. I'm like, this is too hypothetical.
Okay, but obviously, if they had Jordan Love for a year and they decided for whatever reason he's not all that he was cracked up to be, he's not what we thought he was.
How are you going to find that out when Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for this year?
I don't know. Maybe he'll play some games, or maybe even in practice they take looks at him and they say, he's not what we thought.
Aaron Rodgers say, look, they got to Skip, look here, man. You got the man drinking tequila already. The man was drinking Doers. He was drinking Doers or Johnny Walker. And now you got the man taking tequila.
4 fingers.
Yeah, you got to take it to the dome. So, no, leave the man alone. He ain't going to the Cowboy. Oh, now you want him now, huh?
I don't want him. You didn't ask for my answer to this. Now it's my turn.
Okay.
Why would I want a diva quarterback at age 37 who's been in decline for the last 4 years and who hasn't been to a Super Bowl for 10 years? Why would I want that guy? Green Bay doesn't want him. Why would I want him? They're trying to phase him out as we speak. So why would I want to bring him back to a coach who fell apart with him in the first place?
Yeah.
I'm good with Dak Prescott. I still love Dak Prescott. I just don't think he deserves $45 million a year like Patrick Mahomes. I'm still glad he's my quarterback. Unfortunately, I think the clock is ticking on him being my quarterback because of 2 franchise tags, and you better go win a Super Bowl or you're going to be gone because Jerry's not going to pay you the 3rd tag, which skyrockets into the $50 million.
Well, my thing is, if you don't believe in him after the first tag, why would you tag him a 2nd time? Let him go.
Well, it depends how the year plays out.
No, don't
he has
worry.
A good year.
Don't worry about
it.
Let it go. Let
Maybe
it go.
Maybe they lose in the championship game, and you say, let's run it back?
No, Dak says, no, I ain't running nothing back.
Okay. Well, why would I want Aaron Rodgers when I've never believed in him anyway? He has been, slowly but surely, his QBRs have fallen each of the last 4 years, along with his completion percentage.
Well,
why would I want that?
You keep telling me that Aaron Rodgers hadn't been to a Super Bowl in a decade. Aaron Rodgers hadn't done this. But Aaron Rodgers has been to what? He went to Seattle, lost to the Falcons, he lost to San Fran, and he won again. So he's been to 4 NFC championship games in the last decade. How many have the Cowboys been in the last 2 decades? That many? Oh, okay. So you keep on talking about Aaron Rodgers in decline. So when are the Cowboys going to ascend? When are they going to ascend? Because they've done nothing but decline since 95.
Okay, so in 1 year from now, if you're running the Dallas Cowboys, if you're Jerry Jones, you would take Aaron Rodgers over Dak Prescott?
No, I'd have done paid Dak. See, I wouldn't even be in this situation if I was running the
team. Okay, but again, hypothetically, if it came to that because you've fallen apart with Dak Prescott because their bad blood do not invite him now, he and Jerry.
Skip, if the situation between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy is okay, sure. But I'm not so sure Aaron Rodgers wants to be paired with McCarthy or McCarthy wants to be paired, because I'm sure, Skip, anytime you get fired, you start hearing, well, you know, such and such didn't want you. Mm. Well, you know what he said, and you know what that said. You know what I'm saying? So things get said. Things get, you know, loose lips. People start to talk. Well, he ain't coming back. I can go ahead and tell him what happened. Well, you know it was Aaron. Aaron, you know.
I watch things get written in a book by Phil Jackson about Kobe Bryant, and I saw them kiss and make up and go win championships together.
And even Bron went back with old Dan Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
It happens.
Okay, but I don't want it to happen because
why?
I don't respect
Aaron Rodgers. Do you want a championship? Do you want a Super Bowl or not?
Dak is going to be better in the next 2 years than Aaron Rodgers will be. I would take him.
Well, he hadn't been better than Aaron Rodgers
now,
in the last 4 years.
I told you what I would have done if I'd been Jerry Jones and I could see it coming, that Dak and I were not going to make a long-term deal. I would have signed Tom Brady in a heartbeat. Happy birthday, Tom. And I would have had him for the next 3 years to win a Super Bowl. And I think they'd have
Tom
three shots.
Tom is not going to win the Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yes, he is.
The Fox bet got him at 8-8.
So 8-8.
8-8.
Want to bet me on that?
I told you 9-7.
Okay. I don't know how much we bet, but I'll take 9-7 right now. I'll take above 8-8 for 15 cases of diet.
I gave him 9-7.
Okay. I got them 12-4 going to the Super Bowl.
We already got a bet on that. We already bet. They're not going no 12-4, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up. When basically all you've been learning basically for the last 4 months through Zoom, you've been doing all these virtual stuff, and how you're going to break it up because you can only have 80 guys, you can only have this guy here, and you can have this many players there. And you think they're going to go 12-4 in a new system with new players? It ain't happening. No.
Tom Brady with CeeDee Lamb. Thank you, God.
Tom Brady's in Tampa.
Yep.
Take this 8, 9, and 7 and call it a day.
Yep. I'm going to be calling your day every day.
Okay.
Every Monday.
Oh, would you have that energy? You see that energy you got right now? Would you have that?
Yeah.
Would you come here? I don't want to hear nothing about, he just got to get used to his receivers and the defense let him down. Because you're going to blame B.A. Just like you blame Coach Belichick, that every time that something went wrong with Tom Brady, it was Coach Belichick's fault.
The coach of the Buccaneers is now one Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Thank you.
Oh, so just like you just go dismiss B.A., huh?
Yeah.
Bruce Arians or something?
Yeah. Okay.
It is Tom's birthday, so, you got to give him a little love.
No mercy.